Across the country, numerous prison guards are answering charges of physically brutalizing inmates. In Miami, four correctional officers are accused of beating a convict to death. In Colorado, seven guards face accusations of torturing inmates. Virginia's new super maximum security prison is under scrutiny by federal officials for alleged abuse. And in Massachusetts, some 30 inmates say they were beaten by guards at a medium security facility. NPR's Jason Beaubien reports it can be very difficult to verify allegations of wrongdoing inside a prison.
It was supposed to be an orderly contraband search at the Massachusetts Correctional Institute at Shirley, but according to some inmates and staff, it turned into 3 days of mayhem. On October 17th, the medium security prison was placed under lockdown. Anyone who was not a corrections officer was barred from the housing blocks. The department's tactical team, which also serves as a riot control unit, began a cell-by-cell search of the 1,000-bed prison.
2 days after the event, I conducted a service, a religious service at the prison.
Paul Poyser was the Protestant chaplain at MCI Shirley. Poyser, a former superintendent in the state corrections department, said he was shocked by the stories of abuse he heard from more than two dozen inmates.
One inmate said that after he was shackled, the officers, one officer took him by the shackle, pushed his head down, and rammed his head into the shield of another officer. That inmate had a very detectable bruise on his scalp. Other inmates were complaining that they were knee kicked in the groin area.
Other staff at the prison said inmates told similar stories of abuse. Nurse practitioner Robin Van Loo was on duty at the time. According to Van Loo, some 20 inmates needed immediate medical attention during the three-day sweep. One inmate had what Van Loo called road burns from his shoulders to his feet.
Scraped, big, large scraped areas. It looked like they had dragged him by the hair across the pavement naked.
The Massachusetts Department of Corrections has declined multiple requests to interview prison administrators, staff, and inmates. The department, through a spokesperson, says that the tactical team acted professionally during the sweep and that officers used force against only three inmates. John Reinstein, the legal director of the ACLU of Massachusetts, says his office often receives complaints from inmates who say they've been beaten by prison guards.
These are perhaps the most difficult types of cases imaginable to prosecute successfully.
Corrections officers, he says, have a wall of silence. Inmates often won't talk because they fear retaliation by guards, and prison officials control almost all the information regarding what's alleged to have occurred.
The only witnesses you're going to have will be people who are either employed by the Department of Correction or other prisoners. Even the medical records of these incidents are prepared by people who were under contract with the Department of Correction.
The Department of Correction denied NPR's request for numerous documents related to the tactical team's sweep of MCI Shirley. Chaplain Poyser says his attempts to get the department to launch its own investigation into the alleged beatings went nowhere.
The Department of Corrections, their bottom line response to me was that they did not think that an investigation is necessary, that these things did not happen.
Feeling his complaints of criminal wrongdoing were being ignored by the Massachusetts Department of Correction, Poyser reluctantly made the allegations of abuse public on radio station WBUR. After the story aired, the department announced that it would, in fact, conduct a full inquiry by its own investigators. The correction department also, however, suspended Poyser with pay for violating the department's media policy and ordered him to have no further contact with reporters. Nurse practitioner Robin Van Loo has been suspended without pay. Jamie Fellner, the Associate Counsel of Human Rights Watch in Washington, D.C., says there are significant barriers to getting information from prisons.
Notions of governments acting in an open and accountable way, of having to explain what they do, having to come forward with statements about what's going on, don't generally apply to prisons.
She says physical injuries, such as broken bones or bruises, can be one of the best sources of evidence to substantiate claims of abuse. But even this can be problematic.
Prison authorities will often come up with remarkable explanations for signs of abuse. When an inmate in Florida died with all the bones of his chest broken and boot marks on his body, and, I mean, severe physical abuse from which he died, the response of the, or the explanation of the Florida authorities was that he fell from his bunk bed.
In that case, four correctional officers from the Florida State Prison at Stark face second-degree murder charges for the death of inmate Frank Valdez. Fellner says it's very hard to tell how common physical abuse is in the nation's correctional facilities.
One of the problems is there is no systematic or even unsystematic gathering of information by any official body on this.
The one federal agency that at times steps in to address problems in local prisons and jails is the U.S. Department of Justice, but by most accounts, it doesn't have the resources to monitor more than a few correctional systems at a time. Pat McManus, the former head of the Kansas Department of Corrections, now works as a monitor for the Justice Department. McManus says part of what drives prison officials to circle the wagons when allegations of abuse arise is that they feel misunderstood by the public. McManus is not familiar with the situation at MCI Shirley, but says prisons can be difficult, dangerous places to work on a daily basis.
And I think that the resentment that staff have sometimes toward reform groups is that they perceive that the reformers are listening only to half the story and aren't really familiar with what goes on inside the prison.
And this resentment can lead some prison staff to want to retreat behind their rows of concertina wire. McManus says they shouldn't do that.
My position has always been that the more transparent a prison is, the healthier the prison is, the safer it is for the inmates and the safer it is for the staff.
But as incarceration rates increase across the country, journalists and human rights advocates say access to prisons is declining. Last October, California Governor Gray Davis vetoed a bill to allow reporters to schedule face-to-face interviews with inmates and to use tape recorders, cameras, or even notepads inside the state's prisons. And according to a survey last year by the Society of Professional Journalists, an increasing number of states are banning reporters from correctional facilities altogether. Jason Beaubien, NPR News, Boston.